Good morning. Our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 to 6. For if the gospel we preach is hidden, it is hidden only from those who are being lost. They do not believe because their minds have been kept in the dark by the evil God of this world. He keeps them from seeing the light shining on them, the light that comes from the good news about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. For it is not ourselves that we preach. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake.
Morning again, church. It's nice to be back here with you all. In fact, it's a privilege. I really enjoy being able to share my heart with you all. as Johnny was saying, it's not a church building that makes a church. It's the people in it, isn't it? And the more I get to know you, the more I see how there's some real quality people here in this church. And that's why it's a pleasure for me to share my heart with you today. But I better just check the technology first, make sure it's working. We had a little bit of trouble last week as she switched on, Jeremy. Mine switched on, but nothing's happening. Come to this one, yep. Right, you may remember a few weeks ago I gave a message on ears to hear. I don't know how many of you were here, but it was probably the important verse that I really shared from was Romans 10:17. So I just want to quickly recap that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it shows how important it is that we have spiritual ears to hear the Rhema word of God if we're going to have a life of faith. And we saw what compromises our hearing, our spiritual hearing. It's the fact that our heart can be hard. That's the prime cause as to what shuts down our spiritual ears. But today I'm going to move on to a complementary message, Eyes to See. And before I really look at the eyes, I just want to touch on light, because God designed our eyes to perceive light, didn't he? And the third verse into the Bible, we remember those well-known words that God said what? Let there be light. And there was light. That was on the first day of creation. I believe the word light in those verses was natural light, light that we could see with our eyes, and it was expressed as a noun. If you move further on into... Yep, that's great. Is she working now? Okay. Well, I need the other mic. Coming through all right there? Good. Okay, thank you. Great. So that's that third verse in the Bible, let there be light, and there was light. Now, if we just move a bit further on in the first chapter of the Bible, we have in the 15th verse, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And that is the verb, to give light. And it comes from a Hebrew word which means to illuminate. Again, it's literal, it's natural. The heavenly bodies, the sun, moon and stars, they all give natural light. Where would we be without those? We'd be in total darkness, wouldn't we? So in the natural, we really need the moon, the sun and the stars. As we explore on this subject of light and sight, it moves away from being literal into a spiritual dimension. For example, if we look at a verse a bit further on, Numbers 6:24-25. This is the well-known prayer of blessing that was spoken by the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, you can see I've underlined the word shine. It's the exact same Hebrew word that we saw in Genesis 1:15 to give light. The difference is, though, that to give light is in the natural, whereas for the face of God to shine upon us, it's a spiritual shining. It's a spiritual illumination. And so that trend continues through the Bible. It moves away from natural and literal light into spiritual and figurative light. We still do see it at times where it's natural, but the majority of references to light and sight is spiritual. So our natural eyes, of course, they're just not capable of seeing the spiritual light. I'm sure we all recognize that, because God and his kingdom are invisible. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. So there I've underlined invisible. God is invisible. But of course Jesus was the one exception. He stepped out of eternity. He stepped out of the kingdom of light that was invisible, and he stepped onto the earth and he became one amongst us. And that was the only time that we really saw God in the flesh. And we could see him with natural eyes. Now Jesus made an important statement to Nicodemus. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is clearly talking about spiritual sight here. And it means that for those outside of his kingdom, for those that have not come to born again faith, they just are not equipped with spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God and to see God himself. So new birth is a prerequisite to have spiritual sight. And if you're born again, which I'm sure we all are, then you've got the raw materials to have spiritual eyes. Now, there's many verses in the New Testament that talk about seeing into the unseen world. And there's a bit of a paradox there, because if you just look at them in a natural sense, it just doesn't make sense. This is one of them here. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It sounds a bit double Dutch, doesn't it, if you just look at it in a literal sense. But here it's saying, we do not look at the things which are seen in the natural world about us, but we look into the unseen realm of the Spirit and of the kingdom of God. For the things which are temporal, that's the world around us, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's the spiritual realm we're talking about there. So what is the nature of the spiritual eyes which God gives us? And where are they located? This was the key verse in the reading that we heard earlier. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what's said in this verse is that the location of where our spiritual eyes are is the heart, because that spiritual light, that heavenly light, has shone upon our hearts. And this is another verse which confirms that the eyes, the spiritual eyes that we have as born-again believers, is located in our hearts. Ephesians 1:17 to 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of God, glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. Now, a lot of versions, they have the word heart, where it says in the New King James, understanding. The NIV and quite a few other versions have the word heart instead of understanding. So they're really much the same. So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that's God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we've got a divine spiritual light that comes from the kingdom of God and from the throne. And it's actually revealed here what this consists of. Wisdom, revelation, and a knowledge of him. Now, wisdom comes from on high. It comes from heaven. There's an earthly wisdom that comes from below, and that's human wisdom. There's also revelation, and revelation is very varied. It's anything that enlightens our heart with what we know to be something that has come from God. And there's also a knowledge of God himself, which is when the face of God shines upon us, as we said in that prayer of blessing. But we have an enemy, don't we? A spiritual foe. And he's also targeting the hearts of mankind. This verse in Ephesians 4:17 to 18 gives a bit of a description of what the agenda of Satan is. No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, walking having their understanding darkened because of the blindness of their heart. So Satan seeks to bring a spiritual blindness through darkness that can come upon our heart. It's the exact opposite to what God is seeking to do. I believe the events of yesterday, no doubt you heard the news of what's happened in the States. It's really hit the world headlines about the Supreme Court, how they've ruled that the case they had of Roe versus Wade 50 years ago, a long time ago, they've now considered that it's in favour of Wade and that abortion is illegal. So I don't know where you stand, but a lot of Christians, they are pro-life, but there's a massive blindness upon a big chunk of humanity, and it's upon their hearts. They can't see that life in the womb of a mother is an independent human life whose heart started beating 21 days after conception with a DNA that's different from the mum. And the reason is that Satan has sown a real darkness upon their hearts. And I believe that we who are the kingdom of light will always have battles with those that are in a place of darkness. It's where there's a tremendous conflict that's going on the earth at this time between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. In my last message, I shared how God had led Carol and I to this country of Uzbekistan back in the 90s. And we were there for 7 years, and halfway through our time there, there was a couple that we knew within the YWAM team that we were with, and they had approached us and let us know that they knew of a 17-year-old Uzbek lady who had become pregnant outside of wedlock, and she came to faith and she wanted someone to adopt the child that was to be. And they just sensed that God was directing them to us. We weren't able to have children of our own, and this lady wanted a Christian couple to raise the child that was going to come. So we weren't desperate to adopt, but we laid the issue before God and we asked, Lord, can you give us your feedback within 10 days? And God spoke to Carol and myself independently. And he said, yes, I want you to adopt this baby. So we obeyed and we met the mother and we waited for the birth of this child. And it was a boy, and he was born on the 18th of December, 1996. And we called him Jonathan David Weir. There was no New Zealand embassy in Tashkent. You can see Tashkent there, hopefully, on that map, which is the capital of Uzbekistan. So when Jonathan was a few months old, I went with a friend to the American embassy just to find out what's the procedure for getting documentation sorted for an adoption. And my heart sank with what I heard from this American diplomat that was behind the counter. He said, any foreigner that's seeking to adopt an Uzbek minor is taking on something impossible, because there was no legislation in place for foreigners to do such a thing. So Carol and I, we were left in a place of real confusion, anxiety and stress. The confusion was there because we felt God had led us into this. How come he led us into something impossible? Jonathan was bonded to us and we were bonded to him. And the thought of giving him up after that was just something that we couldn't bear. So we stayed in this state for quite a few months. And then as we approached his first birthday, we felt we really needed to seriously pray and fast for what God wanted us to do in this mess that we were in. And we chose to pray and fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th day of December 1996. Thank you, Anne. And at that time, we were reading through the book of Esther. And you can see that bottom scripture there. And as we read through the 9th chapter, verse 18, we came across these words. But the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th and 15th day of the month of Adar. When I checked out which month Adar was, it was the 12th month of the Hebrew calendar. So we had chosen to fast and pray on the exact same days as this feast, the Feast of Purim. And as I looked into what that was, it was a victory feast. And when I heard that, word victory, the eyes of my heart really received the light from God that he was promising us victory, that we just had to hang in. And so we did. It took a long while. It was about 18 months down the line that God really started to move. And something happened quite independently of us. There was a French embassy in Uzbekistan, and there was a couple in the French embassy that they wanted to adopt a local Uzbek minor. And so they had the means to bring a change to the legislation. And they asked the Uzbek government, could we bring in some legislation from France that allows foreigners to adopt Uzbek minors? And the door opened for us, and we were able to adopt Jonathan. So we sent the documentation back to New Zealand, and it was fairly quick that we ended up with a New Zealand passport for Jonathan. And eventually we flew out of Uzbekistan when he was about 3.5 years old. He's now 25, and he's a content Kiwi living here in New Zealand. He's still living with us, and he plans to head off to Sydney soon to join his girlfriend. But the significance of this chapter in our lives for me was that it was the light of God shining upon my heart out of those verses, that scripture there, that really allowed me to see that God was giving us a promise. And if God gives us a promise, we're standing on firm ground, because God doesn't lie. And so that really secured my heart. And the anxiety and the stress had just lifted, and I had a real sense that God had this whole matter in hand. And indeed he did. So, as I said before, when we come to faith, we gain the raw materials for being able to see spiritually. But it takes a while to really develop it. It's a learning process, as with having ears to hear. But this is a good verse here that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," and not just God, but his kingdom as well. So we need purity of heart. Like we needed purity of heart to have ears to hear, we also need purity of heart to be able to see with spiritual eyes. And the pathway to having purity is none other than repentance. Genuine repentance involves the Holy Spirit. We can strive for it to happen without the Holy Spirit, but we probably won't get very far. And it's something that Carol and I have learnt within Elijah House, that the Holy Spirit is so faithful, and he turns up a lot more than we expect. And not only does he guide us to root causes of issues, but the Holy Spirit also brings a real godly sorrow and a contrition upon our hearts as we lead people through prayer. And there's a real restoration that takes place. And every time we're doing prayer ministry, the person that's receiving that ministry is moving towards a more pure heart. We're removing the influence of spiritual darkness that's got a hold of their heart. So if you want to be a valuable instrument in the hand of God, as Johnny has already said, there's an opportunity at this time. We start in August, training up prayer ministers. And as you learn prayer ministry, you're being equipped with something that you can apply to yourself. And so you learn fairly quickly how to gain a purity of heart for yourself. So one person to contact here, if you want to look into this further outside of me, is Beth. She's a valuable member of our team and has been for quite a few years. So we really relish having her on our team. Together, we, as a team, we strategize, you know, dates and things to do with our schools, and we all contribute to the running of the school. So if anyone senses that God has highlighted something in their heart with the message I gave a few weeks ago or today, I just want to offer an opportunity for an altar call, and you can come forward, and Carol and I are available to pray for you. I'd also like to offer a call to salvation for anybody that has not come to born again faith in Jesus, come forward today at that altar call, and we'll pray for you and lead you into a life that is full of abundance, purpose and joy. Thank you. I see that Richard's gone. Do you want to take over, Johnny?